it's a huge subject, never be able to exhaust it at all. But the title of the message is Praise Ye the Lord. And what we're seeing here is the power of praise. We want to read our text in Psalms 150, beginning in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do praise you. And Lord, forgive us where we haven't as we should. And yet, in one sense, we could never offer praise that would be altogether worthy of who you are and what you've done for us and are doing and shall do throughout all eternity. What a blessed people we are. And so often we don't meditate on that. God, forgive us and help us. For we know it is a means by which you empower your people so that we will be enabled to praise you in this, our generation. We ask, Father, that you would help us with all the what to do, and Lord, just help us that we may do it in a manner, most of all, with a single eye for your glory. And if there's any naysayers, as we would seek to do so in our life, may we, Father, have pity upon them and just continue praising you. Lord, help us, for we pray these things in the name of Jesus, by whom we are able to praise you acceptably. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Psalms are full of praise. It is a songbook of praise. And of course, we see it throughout the Scriptures. Praise unto God. And yet, how little do we hear God's praises? How little? And if we examine ourselves, we have to say with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, I have been praising God like I should be. I'm missing, I'm not only does God deserve it, but I'm missing out on a blessing too. And others will be encouraged to do likewise." Oh, how we need that in a day of negativity. That people would see our joy and say, you know, I want some of that by the grace of God. That it would, like the scriptures say, that we adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things in our praise. We see that this is the last psalm. It's almost like it comes to a climax. The praise given to God and encourages us. God's people are so eaten up and consumed with the love of God and the mercy of God. We see it in the psalmist here, how that he cannot but continue in every verse and even more than once in a verse, say, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. God, when He repeats Himself in His Word, it isn't redundant. It's for emphasis. Because the natural man and our flesh is just so hard and cold. We need to be reminded of it. I need to. I know better than anybody else. I'm a sinner. I need it. And it just really struck home with me. We see that how the world praises their idols all the time. They're praising each other and how great they are, and all enthusiastic and exuberant about it. God forbid that they be more enthusiastic and more exuberant about praising their gods and idols and themselves than we are about praising the living God. Hey, we find there in the scriptures in Acts chapter 16. A lot of times I mention this passage, but it hit me home, put some fire under me. But I think about this passage, it convicts me and challenges me there in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. I want to look about it. Look at it. And at midnight, I'm too tired to pray. I'm too tired to praise. And yes, I understand the flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, after all they went through, being beaten and whipped in a dungeon, yet the power of God came upon them. And I believe that this was not some kind of one-time operation, that Paul and Silas were in the practice of praising God. It wasn't something that was so far back in their mind they couldn't retrieve it, but it's something that was so forward in their mind because they practiced it over and over and over again. And so naturally or supernaturally, it came out of their mouth. That's the way it needs to be with us. And look at the blessings. Now, we don't know that that's always going to happen this way, but it was a means that God used. We'll never know unless we exercise ourselves in that manner. Notice, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They were singing. They were just uttering, you know, praise God in the sanctuary. And, you know, it wasn't some kind of humdrum, robotic, zombie-like kind of praise. They sang. They sang loud. Because the prisoners heard them and the jailer heard them. They were not ashamed. You know, the Bible says to make a joyful noise. I don't care if you're not the greatest singer in the world. We're to praise God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Of so many scriptures. But he's there in a special presence. But notice it says, and say praise to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake. Doesn't this world need to be shook up the way it's going? Or maybe God in his sovereign mercy would shake up this world when we praise him. Wouldn't that be great? Why not try it, at least, to do those things and consider it in that manner? That God, if he would, so work to shake up this place, this world. Then, and sometimes in the most unlikely place, who would have thought that God would shake things up in a prison? I just saw somebody in prison not too long ago. But you know what? God can do something great in some places like that. It could be on the streets where all kinds of wickedness happens. God can shake things up. But notice, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken immediately. All the doors were open. You're talking about open doors and praying for open doors. There it is. And everyone's bands were loosed. There's true freedom. The truth of the praise of God will make people free. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep. I mean, let me tell you. Somebody might be sleepy and they're not into what the word says. But when God gets a hold of them and God uses the praises of the people to do that, people's going to wake up. Notice it says there waked out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. What did he hear about? Well, he heard about God, but he thought about he's undone. He drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Who would have thought? God is great. Dare we not limit the Holy One of Israel with our thoughts? Oh, he's not going to save that person. He can't save Putin, and he can't do the, you know, all these leaders. Oh, yeah, he can. He saved Nebuchadnezzar. And he can save whoever he wants to. Now, it's granted, yes, not many mighty, not many noble on this earth are God's people. Understand that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But he does save some. We miss out on a blessing. But this power... that God, there's a connection between the power of God and the praise to God. But this praise, as we kind of touched on already, was glorious praise. It says there in Psalm 66:2 that to make his praises glorious, God forbid that I praise God just because it's my duty to praise God. You know what that is like? There's no enthusiasm in it. I see people in the world in their cars and they're just singing along and playing air guitar and all this stuff they're doing and they're so excited about the song. And I'm thinking, wow, may God help us to be like that. Maybe not take our hands off the wheel, but you know what I mean. Let's look first of all at the person to praise. We're going to be looking at five things. The person to praise. Second, the place to praise. Third, the power of praise. Fourth, the purpose of praise. Fifth, the particulars of praise. I'm sorry, six of them. And then six, the practice of praise. Let's notice first of all at the person to praise. The person of God, the triune God. He's the one we're to pray. Notice what it says. First of all, it's personal. Praise ye the Lord. It's personal. You praise God. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to everybody. Praise ye the Lord. I like when God gets real specific. And then there's no wiggle room to get out of it, does it? Is there? When he does sometimes say a broad statement, includes it all, but sometimes he'll put that ye in there. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Praise ye the Lord. We're not to praise man-made religion. We're not to praise government. We're not to praise politicians. We're not even to praise true churches. Praise belongs to God and to God alone. He's the Jehovah God. He's the God who gives us faith, as our brother says. He is the God who is the covenant God, and that we can praise Him with confidence because we're in Jesus Christ if we believe on Him. We praise Him with a believing triumph, knowing that we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we can be bold to praise, because recognizing that with earnestness and cheerful submission unto Him. rejoicing in His love, taking comfort in His great goodness towards us, and all that He is doing in the world. God's the one who created the heavens and the earth. Certainly, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Certainly, He ought to be the one that ought to be praised. Without Him, we can do nothing. Our brother talking about, who maketh us to differ. Well, God does. To refuse to praise God is shameful. It's a shameful treason, and it's a heartless robbery of what is due unto God. That's how serious it is if we don't. But there's the joy of it. What a privilege we have who are in Jesus Christ. Before, we couldn't praise God acceptably. We wouldn't want to. Now, we can. And not only that, God is so gracious and so generous, He rewards us for it. Isn't that amazing? He uses the means to bring more blessings to us. That's how generous and gracious our God is. But now let's look secondly at the place of praise. Praise God, the Mighty One is what that means. El Elyon. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise the Almighty God in His sanctuary. Well, where is that? Is it in these places that are called sanctuaries, a bird sanctuary? Is that where it is? To go in among nature? No. I mean, we could praise Him there, but that's not what the text is talking about. Do we got to go to Jerusalem and go to the Temple Mount? Is that what we got to do? No. Where is God's sanctuary today? It's in His churches. In His sanctuary. Especially. Now, we know that Jesus calls His institutions of worship, and this day His church, is a house of prayer. And in prayer, there is praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's adoring and praising God. It ought to be more than any other place here in the church. We are a house of praise. I mean, notice David. You know, where God is truly sanctified as the head in His churches. We see that, don't we? There in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see it in Ephesians chapter 5. He's the head. And so it stands to reason He ought to be exalted and extolled and praised like no other place on earth. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? It's a tall order, but it's a great privilege. Notice Psalms 122, verse 1. What was David's attitude? In one way, well, let's read it. It says, a song of degrees, that of David. Remember when we dealt with the songs of degrees as they went up to the temple to worship? It was preparing themselves to enter into the house of God. What were they singing? And this is something we need to think about as we prepare. You know, when you prepare to go to see someone very, very important, I mean, you should prepare. You ought to think, well, I need to dress in a way that's respectable. I need to say things that are glorifying to God. Say things in a way that would glorify God. There's preparation. And all too often, we enter and hastily into the house of God and our hearts have never been prepared. Consider the conversation before services. Are we at any time before services bowing our hearts and say, Lord, help me that I would praise You? I'm so glad. Like David. What did David, what does it say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, something's wrong if that's not the attitude. Not something wrong with God, it's something wrong with me and you. And again, yeah, I don't want to just be negative, but the positive word is that, you know, God's going to bless us. His commandments, the Bible says, are not grievous. They're not like that. And anytime we think that way, we're being lied to by the enemy and by our flesh. So we see, you know, when David was glad. He went into an attitude in the house of God with gladness to praise God. That's why I believe the song service is so critical. Sometimes I wish we'd sing more songs. It would be fine with me to sing more songs. Not just out of duty to just do it, because then it just drones on and on. It means absolutely nothing. But in spirit and in truth, we need to be a place of praise. And David went gladly because he loved praising God. He loved to praise God. It was joy to him. And he recognized, you know, David had all kinds of troubles. He was a man of war. War is not fun. People are killed. It was in Solomon's time that there was peace. But David was a man of war. And he had troubles in his family. And yet, all those things aside, that's what we've got to do. Put all those things aside. Because if we don't, yes, I know we've got to bear, we got burdens and so forth. I'm not saying that we shouldn't bear one of those burdens. I'm simply saying, let's make sure we don't neglect to praise God. And come with gladness. Because I mentioned many times in Nehemiah 8:10, they were sad because things were not like they used to be before the glory of the temple and all that kind of stuff. And we can think of negative thing after negative thing after negative thing after negative thing, on and on in this world. But if we neglect to praise the positive, the God of our salvation, Nehemiah said, don't be sorry. Don't let that consume you. Don't let that be the focus of your attention. Because it will mess you up. You know what it does, don't you? When you get burdened and you get sad and you're grieving, it just saps the very energy and life out of you. We all know that feeling. God uses this praise, as Nehemiah said, the joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know about you, the older I get, I realize I need more strength. I need more strength, Lord. I don't have the strength I used to have. So this is a place of praise. And we see it everywhere. And it's so critical as we think about Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Better have a good excuse, providentially hindered, to miss the house of God. Not only does it bring dishonor to God, but it hurts you. And it hurts the rest of the membership. We can praise Him for so many things. That He's holy, that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. We can praise Him outwardly, we can praise Him inwardly in our hearts. We want to also look secondly, or thirdly, on the power of praise. We've touched on that a little bit already. But in Psalms 150, verse 1, part C, praise Him in the firmament of His power. In the firmament of His power. God is all powerful. He's the Almighty God. He's a sovereign God who controls and orchestrates every single thing that happens in this world, whether it be His determinate counsel or whether it be His permissive will. He works all things of the counsel of His own will. Notice what it says, what this is saying too. Let even the stars in the firmament show forth and shine forth His praises. The planets, the angels, the sun, the moon, extol Him. Everything in creation over all the whole entire universe because of His power. I love that passage in Revelation 19:6. Oh, look. You want to have a little heaven on earth? That's what praise does. Now, if you doubt it, it won't be for you. You'll miss out. The heavenly meeting there in Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters and with the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent, all-powerful. He reigneth. Yeah. He can be all-powerful, but he may not choose to reign, but He does. He reigns. He rules. You know, people have these things, such and such rules or that rules or whatever. No, God rules. Period. I'm so glad. That's never changed, never will change. But now, fourthly, we see the purpose of praise. Number one, it says, praise Him in verse 2 for His mighty acts. Well, how? You got to know Him. You know how you know Him? By hearing His book. You know how you know Him? By the times in which God blessed you with the power unto salvation, the power to overcome temptation, the power to witness to others, the power to praise Him in spite of the trials and the troubles that you go through. Praise Him for His mighty acts. You got to know Him in the book and experientially in your life. How do you know that? Read His Word. Study His Word. Meditate on His Word. Not just kind of quickly, okay, all right, I read my Bible or read my few verses or whatever it is. That's good. All right, let me move on with life. Never give it another thought. Mm-mm. It doesn't work that way. Think about it. Would you, if you were God, be satisfied with that? No. Mm-mm. It doesn't make sense. But we can praise Him for His mighty acts and His goodness. And spiritually, physically, materially, and the list goes on and on and on and on. For His election, His redemption, and His inspiration, His Word. For the enlightenment in our understanding and our purification in our heart. The quickening of our conscience and our submission to His will. It's all because of His work. Without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. And that He has preserved His Word. And when we meditate, He speaks to our hearts and rejoices our hearts. Yeah, sometimes convictions. But when those convictions turn into repentance and proper actions, it brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ain't nothing like it. To boost you up and get some fuel in your tank so that you can live the life in the way that you ought to live. But it goes secondly in verse 2. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You know His greatness is infinite. It is unlimited. And so our praise ought to correspond with that. Amen. That we should infinitely praise Him. That we should, without limit, praise Him. That's what He deserves. to worship him, to reverently adore him and bow before him. That's the kind of praise. And remember when the children of Israel came from the Red Sea, and the Lord drowned the chariots and the armies of Egypt. They, there in Exodus 15, they praise God for his excellent greatness, for his mighty acts. God is not only great, but he's the greatest. He's the greatest of all time. Notice there in Isaiah 40 and verse 15 gives you an idea of how great God is. Behold, the nations are to him but as a drop of a bucket. You think of a nation, that's huge. You know, some nations are so powerful and prosperous and all this. But to God, they're just a drop in a bucket. That's it. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast there is sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. Not just one of them. Every single one of them that ever has been, is, and shall be. Nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing. And vanity. That's just a tiny picture of how great God is. We need to openly, unashamedly, publicly proclaim the praise of God. While you're at the marketplace, standing in line, while you're at the gas pump, in our communities, don't be afraid. You got God on your side. We have no reason to fear. Fear of man bringeth a snare. It'll restrict you. It will hurt you. It will withhold things from you. You know what snares do? You can only go so far when you're in a snare. And you're only going to go so far in growing in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ and climbing up to that upward ground that song talks about. We don't want to do that to ourselves and be, you know, to me, when I see somebody really on fire for God, it convicts me, and it also says, you know what, that's where I ought to be. That's what it does. It encourages me to do likewise. When I read it in the Word, it encouraged me to do the same thing. But let's look at some particulars in praising God. And we're just going to briefly go over these. But notice what it says in methods in praising God. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now, a trumpet's not some soft sounding thing. It's loud. And what the idea is that you ought to unashamedly proclaim him, whether it's with a trumpet, with an instrument, you can praise God. This piano, those of you who play piano, you praise God with this instrument right here. What a privilege. I can't do much of that. Mine's going to be maybe a joyful noise at best. But what a blessing to be able to make his praises glorious on an instrument. But it was an unmistakable sound that was made. And this, the trumpets and the horns were, the ram's horn and the shofar, they call it, was the only ones where they have specific directions to use in a particular way. If the trumpet was blown when it's time to fight. The trumpet was blown when it was time to conquer. The trumpet was blown when they assembled. The trumpet was blown to proclaim the word. And the trumpet was blown to welcome the jubilee. And the trump of God shall sound when Jesus comes back. I love that song we sang. But till my raptured soul, I don't look at it. It's when my raptured soul, and I'm really going to praise God like I never have before. But notice it says, praise him with this psaltery. A psaltery is a stringed instrument like a lute or a guitar. And we see that over and over again in Psalms 33:2 and Psalms 144:9. But they're to be used of God to offer up praise to the one who has been given to us all things to enjoy. Give us abilities to play a musical instrument. But it goes on, Psalms 150, verse 3, part C, and harp. With the harp, we can praise God. Chapter 150, verse 4, praise him with the timbrel, a tabret or a tambourine, a percussionary instrument, with stringed instruments, with horned instruments, wind instruments, or stringed instruments, even like a piano, and with percussionary instruments. Nothing wrong with it. Some people say, oh, the beat, I don't like the beat. Well, some beats are just, I don't know, something about it, just it what it does. A little timbrel is not going to take too much attention away from the words. But some of these drums are so loud that you cannot even hear yourself think, much less understand the words. But notice, it goes on. And part B, and dance. Whoa, wait a minute now, brother. You just drew the line. Really? The Lord says it right there. It don't just say it there. It says in Psalms 149, verse 3, and many other places. In fact, David, when the Ark of God was brought in, he danced with all his might. He was so happy. He was praising God in the dance. And you know what? Saul's daughter, Michal, that he married, she despised him. So we got to be careful. Don't despise that. God cursed her with barrenness because of that. It's said very plain. So we need to be careful that we don't just because, I mean, I would dance for the Lord, you know, and I do privately. I don't think it's necessarily appropriate. But if I want to dance for the Lord in the middle of the sermon, there would be nothing wrong with it. As long as it wasn't inappropriate in the sense of, you know, like some of them dance these days. The way they dance in the Jews is basically like cloggers or whatever. It's just moving your feet. You know, it wasn't, and maybe waved in the hands, but that's nothing of the gyrations that we see in our modern day dance. If you look at the dances of the children of Israel. But nonetheless, we see that. We see it at the deliverance of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They did the very same thing. Again, that is how, have you ever been that happy? Where you've heard some good news and you just jump for joy and you felt like dancing? Now, why would we offer up such rapturous delight and expression and limit it only to the common things of this life? Like who wins the Super Bowl? Whoop-de-doo. Who could? I don't care. If I'm doing that with that and neglecting it to the God who gave those people the ability to play the game they did, then it just doesn't compute, people. Think about it. Don't worry about what anybody's going to think. Be concerned with what God thinks about it. Now, there's going to be always going to be somebody like Michal, Saul's daughter. Oh, they're just trying to get attention, or they're just trying to... Brother Wendell sent me a video clip about naysayers. Don't listen to them. If they're not speaking according to God's word, don't pay attention to it. Amen. What did David do when he went out there and was given food to his brothers? And he heard about the reward, about killing Goliath, that he's going to be the son-in-law to the king and all the blessings attached with that. And what did his brothers say? Oh, you're just here to see the war and you know, just all kind of naysaying going on. What did David do? He turned and asked the same question to somebody else. He just ignored them. He was focused on what mattered. And may God help us in that. Then praise him with stringed instruments. I mean, just all kinds of stringed instruments. And then it goes in verse 4, the last part. And organs. In other words, once again, we have the wind instrument again. This is like a pipe or a flute or some of these pan pipes that they have, harmonica, you name it. God. And of course, you have organs that are just like a whole bunch of pipes. But then it says, praise him upon the loud cymbals. And it goes on to say, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. These plates or discs of brass. Those things are loud. You want to get woke up real quick, have one of those things banging around. The idea is God wants us to praise. There's nothing common or unclean when it comes to instruments to praise God, is basically what that's saying. And it's also saying in this last part about the cymbals is that we ought to not be ashamed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, a loud noise unto God. Not to have ourselves be heard or hear ourselves sing or whatever, but to God. Why? It's like I tell people when I preach on the open air, look, I'm being loud because I want other people, as many people as possible, to hear. And that's the idea. Want as many people to hear as possible. That's the idea. Because that's an expression of, you know what, I'm not ashamed at all. Because my God deserves it. Look over there in Psalms 98. Psalms 98. Notice what it says. I could look at the other scriptures too, but we'll just turn to this one. In Psalms 98, notice there in verse 4, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Yes. Hear these people going down the street and boom, 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 boom. You know, and they're just as loud as they can be. They're not ashamed of their foolishness. And we ought to exceed to make Christ known. Because guess what? The media is not going to advertise it in a good way. So may God help us. But then lastly, the practice of praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Lord who gives us life and breath and our being. Certainly, we ought to be using the breath He gives us to praise Him. It's a commandment. It's a good one. Praise ye the Lord. Now, people's not always going to appreciate it, and they're not going to enjoy it. I don't understand it. I was talking to somebody yesterday when I was open air preaching, and the guy said he was a Christian and everything else, but there was no joy. He didn't want to talk anymore. Said, okay. All right. I feel sorry for him if he's really a true child of God, and I feel sorry for him even more if he isn't. We can't let the naysayers stop us and discourage us. God deserves our all and all. With everything we got, let everything have breath. With all our breath and all our being, praise God. Amen. It says there in Psalm, Jesus says in Luke 19:40, those who are complaining about the children praising Jesus Christ and singing Hosanna to the King. And Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Praise God, all of us, at all times. I think, I don't know if I'm correct on this, but the old days they sang the old 100th was in the hymn books, and I thought maybe in the Psalter that talked about the 100th Psalm. I believe that's right. But anyway, Psalm 100 is a great verse to read. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." You want a taste of heaven on earth? Like I said earlier in Revelation, just praise God like the Bible tells us to. I want us to notice there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 as we come to a close. In verse 13, at the completion of the temple, again thinking about God's house. "It came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one." We've got to do that as a church, as one. Let our praise be with all of our being. Look what happens when that kind of stuff happens. "To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with their trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." May we earnestly, consistently seek with all of our hearts to be more closely in harmony with that passage of Scripture as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We got more blessings than they had. We got more truth. We got more revelation. We're closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Ooh, we ought to be doing more than what they do. For the greatness of the revelation that our praise to our God, that his glory would literally take over this place where there's not any room for anything or anybody else. It ought to consume the services. And Brother Pack was talking about humility. Oh, you can praise God, that's humility because you see how great he is and how little we are. So little. That'll humble you when we praise him like we should. We should never be called a dead church because we're not praising God with all that's in us. Now they might not understand the truth. And it might seem boring to them. I can understand the loss. But if it's because of a robotic, zombie-like kind of praise, we're not being consistent with the text. And you might say, well, I just can't do that. Will you at least try? Will you seek God with all your heart? Say, Lord, help me. It's always uncomfortable when we're not used to something. But when God gives grace, he gives glory. We see his glory. Praise, like prayer, has got to be a habit. It's something that needs to be practiced over and over again if we expect a benefit over and over again. And not just a little hiccup of a blessing every so often. I like there in Psalms, matter of fact, this particular passage there in Psalms 48 is also found in 1 Chronicles 11:25 or 16:25, also in Psalms 145, verse 3, three times. Notice what it says in Psalms 48, beginning there in verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's the way the song goes. Have you ever heard the song before? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I hope that if you're lost this morning, and there are some of you who are lost this morning, I hope that you will have the experience of Philippian jailer did when he heard the praises of God, whether it's in song or whether it's in words or in the lives of God's people. And you say, you know what? This world is going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. And I want what you got. May God help you. Don't let this go out of your mind. Because you're either going to be praising God in heaven forever and ever and have the greatest time you've ever had in your entire life, or you are going to, yes, you're going to praise God even in heaven. The wrath of man praises God, but it won't be acceptable. You'll be in torments forever and ever and having the worst time of your entire life for all eternity. Jesus came in the world to save sinners and give us life abundantly, more abundantly in him, because he took the penalty of sin so that everyone who believe on him, his elect, would not have to and have everlasting life, because he was crucified, he died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I thank you for your attention to God.